Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. On the show today, a former U.S. attorney from Michigan deconstructs the game of three-dimensional chess playing out in the Senate impeachment proceedings. Barb McQuaid says there's an important struggle going on over the limits of executive power. We'll talk with her later this hour. But first, tonight's the night. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is to deliver her second State of the State address this evening. It was a challenging first year between a budget standoff with the legislature, a host of environmental and legal issues to deal with, and more. Michigan Radio's live coverage tonight at 7 will be hosted by our own senior producer, Laura Weber-Davis, and Capitol Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. And they're with us now from Lansing with a preview. Laura, Rick, how are you?
Hey.
Hello.
I was thinking, tonight's the night. I hate to make light of the situation, but I have to say, this is kind of one of the most exciting nights of the year at the state capitol, I think.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the most exciting night.
I am all for theme songs for every State of the State address in Michigan in perpetuity from now on. You know, Gretchen Whitmer's path to office was powered in part by a now famous promise stated in five words, to fix the damn roads. Hmm. Here we are, 1 year in, and the comprehensive fix that she promised has not quite materialized. Can we recap what happened with road funding in 2019? Rick, you want to start us off?
Sure. The governor gave her proposal, and it was a 45-cent per gallon increase. Am I getting that number right, Laura?
45 cents, yeah.
Yeah, 45 cent per gallon increase, which was pretty much DOA. The Republicans said no way, and that set off a series of political machinations that the governor took some controversial budget maneuvers, some of which alienated her own base. And so, long story short, that she and the Republican leaders, after getting themselves into this corner, had to back out of it. And now they're back to the starting point.
one year later, to try
and fix the damn road.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's just one of those things where 45 cents a gallon, I think, was a tough pill to swallow for just about anybody who heard it. I mean, as a person who's driving on the roads every day, as a politician, as a lobbyist, 45 cents a gallon seemed like a very clear-cut, if not simplistic, way to tackle a very large problem. And the price tag alone was just going to be too overwhelming.
Yeah, even Democratic leaders said that was not going to happen.
Be feasible.
And the governor stood by it. And, you know, thus we wound up at a budget impasse.
Laura, what are some of the options that Gretchen Whitmer might discuss tonight as she revisits the issue?
You know, I mean, all I've been following are the same things that you've probably been following, April. The idea of toll roads, at least a study into whether toll roads are feasible and whether they would collect the right amount of money and how long it would take to collect that money. There's a bonding issue out there of whether or not we can essentially borrow the money, mm-hmm. pay back later.
And the benefit of that for the governor is that within some parameters, she could do that without getting the legislature's approval. And we're already seeing the legislative Republicans gearing up to make a fight out of that.
But the only thing that I can see that seems really clear-cut, April, is that regardless of whether or not they are able to establish a plan that works for everybody, at least in part, this year, which even that seems unlikely, the roads won't be fixed in the way that we'd like to see them within the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be revisiting this conversation at least every year for Gretchen Whitmer's first term, if she has mm-hmm. another one.
Well, remember, the last governor, Republican Rick Snyder, wanted to do something about the roads and never got near what he said was necessary.
Yeah.
And he was a Republican working with Republicans in the legislature.
I wonder what the state's credit rating looks like right now. I'm sure just borrowing sounds like a pretty tempting idea at this point.
Well, borrowing typically is tempting up front, but the problem is eventually you have to start paying it back. And Michigan is still paying back from previous of borrowing for, you know, roads and infrastructure. And, you know, a lot of especially conservative Republicans are more interested in a pay-as-you-go route. However, they're more interested in the going than the paying.
Is there motivation, do you guys think, for Republicans in the opposition to collaborate with Whitmer on a road fix, if only to avoid another budget deadlock?
I would say yes, because there is general agreement that there are problems with the roads. But there are two things. Is that Republicans and the governor have not agreed on the size of the problem, and so therefore they have not agreed on how much money is needed and where it would come from. And there is now a new elephant in the room, and it's tied to the State of the Union address that Governor Whitmer is going to be delivering the English language Democratic response. And that suddenly, you know, as her national profile is on the rise, that also means that there is diminished interest, at least in some elements of the Republican coalition, to hand her the sorts of victories that would contribute to that.
Published reports have also suggested that Governor Whitmer tonight is going to address a topic that traditionally has not been a part of state policy speeches, and that's workplace harassment. No doubt this has been informed by three women's recent statements that State Senator Pete Lucido said or did inappropriate things to them. I mean, does the governor have any power over this situation? It would be for the legislative caucus to administer any punishment if the allegations are found to have merit, right?
Well, I think it depends on how you quantify power, because she's in a very unique position to speak about it. And I think the power of her words might be enough to resonate throughout the Capitol. She is
the moral
woman,
authority.
Yeah. She is a woman who has experienced sexual harassment in this very workplace before.
I mean, she's been in Lansing for almost 20 years now, hasn't she,
exactly.
Laura?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. She's had kids while she's been there. She started very young. Rick, you might not remember off the top of your head. She was like in her 20s.
She wasn't in her 20s.
Yeah. She's been around for a while. Yeah. And she's part of a political family. She's got a long history here. And she, you know, she has experienced sexual harassment as well. And so I think that being able to talk about it from a first person perspective is going to make the issue feel that much heavier and weightier. And while she might not be able to just unilaterally sign something that says, you know, you guys have to do X, Y, and Z to clean this issue up, just drawing attention to it is going to juxtapose her against her male counterparts in a way that will make them maybe have to act in some way that mm-hmm. changes things.
And it is powerful when a governor, especially a female governor in this instance, can simply declare times have changed, learn from it.
Yeah. Various news sources have been dribbling out little other hints about topics that Governor Whitmer might address tonight, a task force for drug prices, some patient protections regarding pre-existing conditions, an expansion of Michigan's free preschool, and maybe some action on maternal mortality issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we look at all this in concert with other issues that she's focused on, who is Gretchen Whitmer aiming at with an agenda that looks like this?
I would say working families. You know, I think these are issues that everybody thinks about, especially when they have kids. Maternal mortality, universal pre-K, these are things that people think about, especially when it starts to affect their pocketbook. And they're looking, pardon me, you know, especially when they're looking at their pocketbook and they're thinking, I can't believe how much I'm paying for preschool. And then there are many people who can't afford it. Those people who can't afford preschool do have options in front of them. But I think that the issue is attractive enough that it affects a broad swath of the population. So you're basically talking about every working class family in the state of Michigan.
I think there's a case that she's trying to make here, at least it would appear this way, that Michigan's capacity to generate the revenue for the services that people expect has not kept up. And so people want these services, but they need to pay the taxes to do that. And so just like she did last year, she will probably in a narrower sense, try to make the case still that at some point, if we expect these services, then we have to generate the revenue to pay for them. And whether it's through a gas tax or doing something with the income tax or some other, you know, source of revenue, that you know, she's going to slowly and subtly start to make, you know, continue to make the case for that.
And, you know, April, I'll just say that, you know, if you look at these issues that you listed, if you're talking about drug prices, preschool, maternal mortality, everybody is confronted with these issues, mortality, illness, children. These are things that tend to come up in all of our lives, and at least the majority of us. And so I think tackling those issues in the speech might be smart for her when she has had some unpopular moments in her first year.
Mm-hmm. State of the state addresses tend to be one part to-do list, one part rallying cry. Sometimes politicians use it to sort of poke back at their critics. What does Gretchen Whitmer need this speech to do?
Well, I think one of the things are you're absolutely right, but you know, we talked about this earlier, that the national role that she is going to be taking as the Democratic response to President Trump's State of the Union address means that whether she likes it or not, or whether others like it or not, that she will be using this to set the stage for that. So everything that she says in this, or at least most of the things that she says in this, are also going to be a prelude to that, that she's going to be delivering an expected Democratic rallying cry that's an alternative to what we're seeing happening in Washington right now.
You know, Gretchen Whitmer is personable, and she is smart, and she is charismatic, and she needs a speech to continue that message for her both nationally and in order to move her own agenda forward in the legislature, I think, by getting the public behind her.
Stateside Senior Producer Laura Weber Davis and Capitol Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. Guys, thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Pleasure.
They'll be anchoring our live coverage of the second State of the State address by Gretchen Whitmer this evening, beginning at 7 p.m.